May it please the court, my name is Carl Crow, and I'm here today to represent Mr. Gary Corbin, petitioner in this case. This case is a premises liability case involving Mr. Corbin's injury when he slipped on a what's called a foreign substance in the respondent Safeway store number 903 in Houston, Texas on October the 5th, 1977. The case is before you as a result of an affirmance by the Dallas Court of Civil Appeals of a directed verdict rendered against the plaintiff at the close of the plaintiff's presentation of his case on the basis that the plaintiff had not demonstrated that the respondent, Safeway Stores, Inc., had in fact breached a duty to the plaintiff in this case. It is the position of the petitioner that Mr. Corbin clearly demonstrated a duty on behalf of Safeway to him in this case, and that the petitioner raised sufficient issues of fact as to the breach of that duty to allow the case to go to the jury. It is petitioner's position in this case that the reason this case is in front of this honorable court is not because of the failure of the petitioner to establish those facts, but rather because of the unnecessarily restrictive application that some courts seem to make of premises liability law in Texas when that liability law pertains to what's called a foreign substance. The facts of this case are as follows. On October the 5th, 1977, Mr. Corbin went to Safeway store 903 in Houston, Texas to purchase some items for dinner. On the way out of the store, he passed down the produce aisle, an aisle of green linoleum. As he passed by the grape bin, he stepped on one or more green grapes that were on the floor and immediately slipped and fell, tearing two ligaments in his right knee and dislocating his right kneecap. The case was filed in Harris County, and before present counsel's law firm took over the handling of the case, Safeway had the case moved to Dallas County on a plea of privilege. The case was consequently tried in the 192nd District Court of Dallas County, Texas. At time of trial, the plaintiff produced evidence of Safeway's particular conscious knowledge of a hazard in front of the grape bin of this store. The direct examination of the store manager, Mr. Anhoff, gave us this information. The reason you put mats, walk-off mats, in front of the grape section is because, as I remember from our discussion at the deposition, you know, grapes get knocked on the floor a lot, is that right? Answer, it depends on the customer. Sometimes they peel them. Question, sometimes people who pick up some grapes, some would fall off the stems, I guess you would call it, and drop on the floor, and that occurred so often that Safeway decided that they needed the mats there because you could not keep constantly watching the area. The hazard was too great, is that right? Answer, yes. The issue was the walk-off mat, you see, because Safeway had testified repeatedly that because of this condition in front of the grape bin, that is, because grapes kept falling on the floor with such rapidity that they could not keep up with the hazard by simple inspection and cleaning, that they had to have walk-off mats in front of the grape bin. The testimony goes on. Question, it is my understanding that you did not have mats anywhere else in the store except in the entrances and in front of the grapes. You did not have them in front of the lettuce and the carrots and the rutabaga, but only in front of the grapes. Answer, yes. Did you do this because you knew the grapes, once stepped on a linoleum floor, presented a hazard that was different than like lettuce or squash or carrots? Answer, yes. Question, you knew in fact grapes would be very, very slippery if stepped on again that linoleum floor, did you? Answer, yes. Mr. Dagley, who came to Dallas as Safeway's corporate representative and who was in fact the district manager of the Houston stores, summarized the plaintiff's offer of proof as to duty in this case by the following testimony. Question. And the reason that those mats are there and the reason Safeway puts this out to all their stores and all their managers is because that is such a hazardous place. Grapes falling on the floor, you can't have people checking it all the time. And you have to have some non-skid, non-slip surface there to protect them, don't you? Answer, that's correct. That was the tender of the plaintiff's testimony and evidence to establish duty on the part of Safeway stores towards the plaintiff. That is, the Safeway stores had a conscious understanding of the fact there was a particular hazard in front of the grape bin in that store and all of their stores, and consequently had a written store policy to have 4x6 non-skid walk-off mats in front of the grape bins whenever there were grapes in the bins. What about evidence on breach of duty? The plaintiff unequivocally and positively testified that on the occasion in question there were no floor mats, no walk-off mats in front of the grape bin. The store manager, Mr. Anhaw, said that when he came over to find the plaintiff lying on the floor, he found him lying only about 2 feet from the grape bin and could not remember whether or not the plaintiff was lying on top of any floor. But, Your Honors, the plaintiff was able to produce a witness, a Mrs. Sally Helfner, who shopped Safeway, that Safeway store 903, from 1973 until 1979 on almost a daily basis. And Mrs. Helfner testified in response to my showing her pictures that were taken of this Safeway produce aisle showing these floor mats that were supposed to be in place on the day in question, that she had never seen walk-off mats like that depicted in those pictures before in the 6 or 7 years she had shopped that store up and into and including the day of the occurrence of the base of this claim. When I asked her if she was sure about that, she said, yes, I am positive. I would submit to this honorable court that the plaintiff discharged the burden of demonstrating a duty on behalf of Safeway Stores, Inc. in this case because he demonstrated that defendant knew of the hazard. I would submit to this honorable court that the plaintiff discharged his burden of at least raising a fact issue as to whether or not that burden was breached by the defendant. And yet on the basis of this evidence, the trial court withdrew the case from the jury and directed a verdict for the defendant on the basis that the plaintiff had failed and his obligation to demonstrate that either Safeway store put the grape on the floor, knew it was on the floor, or that the plaintiff had failed to prove that the grape was on the floor for such a sufficient length of time as Safeway store should have, in ordinarily prudence, discovered it and removed it. Your Honors, I believe that this case falls squarely within the principles of the tort law recognized in the state. The elementary concept of tort law is that before a plaintiff can prevail, he must demonstrate that the defendant owed him a duty. He must at least produce fact evidence to create a fact issue that the defendant breached that duty, proximately causing the damages. In 1972, this court adopted the Restatement of Tort, Section 343, which, if you will, is a codification of that simple elementary concept of tort law. dangerous conditions known or to be discovered by a possessor. A possessor of land is subject to liability for physical harm caused to his invitees by a condition on the land if, but only if, he A, knows or by the exercise of reasonable care would discover the condition and should realize that it involves an unreasonable risk of harm to such invitees. B, knows or by or should expect that they will not discover or realize the danger or will fail to protect themselves against it, and C, fails to exercise reasonable care to protect them against the dangers. Your Honor, I would submit that this, as in any negligence case, is the test of the ordinarily prudent proprietor standard. It is an objective test. It is not subjective. However, I would also submit that the courts of this state, and the decisions are legion, have unnecessarily, restrictively engrafted into these major principles of premises liability law that when a case under consideration involves a foreign substance, then there are only and must only be three inquiries. Did the defendant put the foreign substance on the floor? Did he know it was on the floor before the plaintiff encountered it? Or can the plaintiff prove that it was on the floor for such a sufficient length of time that the defendant, in the exercise of ordinary care, would have discovered and removed it? And I would submit that while that test might be appropriate in some cases involving foreign substances under premises liability in Texas, it is not determinative of all such cases, and this case is an excellent example. If we assume, as I think we must, that the test here is not subjective but objective, the ordinarily prudent person, then I would submit that there may be an enormous amount of evidence which might raise a fact issue in a case very much like this as to whether or not the defendant had a duty and breached the duty to the plaintiff. As this court said in Roses versus Buddy's Food Store, whether a condition constitutes a danger is a function of reasonableness. That is, if the ordinarily prudent man could foresee that harm was a likely result of a condition, then it is a danger. So then the issue becomes foreseeability and ordinary prudence. And I would submit to this court that in this case, while I think we clearly demonstrated a duty and raised a fact issue of breach of duty, that this case should go to a jury even if Safeway denied that they were aware of any particular hazard in front of the grape bin, denied that they had a policy to protect against it, denied that they put the grape on the floor on the occasion in question, denied that they had any actual knowledge that it was on the floor on the occasion in question, and of course the plaintiff finally was totally unable to prove how long the grape was on the floor. Because what if every other grocery store in the Houston area had floor mats in front of the walk-off bins of walk-off mats in front of the grape bins in their grocery stores, and basically the plaintiff could prove that fact? Would that not be some evidence that the defendant in this case, even though that defendant refused to subjectively admit knowledge of the hazard, would that not be some evidence to allow a jury to determine the issue of whether or not an ordinarily prudent store owner should have had walk-off mats in place in the case? By the same token, with the same facts, what if all other grocery stores in Houston at the time of this occurrence had their grapes in 1-pound cellophane packages so that they could not be scattered on the floor. That inquiry does not focus on what Safeway knew and shouldn't, because the objective, the standard is the objective, ordinarily prudent man standard. There is another case that I would like to use as a hypothetical, which I have currently pending. It's a case where a young girl and her mother went into a theater in Houston, Texas. The show was not yet over in the auditorium, and there were stops outside of the auditorium by the usher, who said that you cannot go into the theater auditorium itself until we've had an opportunity to go ahead of you and inspect the aisles and pick up the refuse from the materials that have been dropped on the floor by the people in the show before you. Immediately after they are led into the auditorium, the young lady starts to walk between the seats on the sloping concrete aisle, slips on a substance, breaks 3 ribs and a femur. Unquestionably, there was a foreign substance on the floor, and on a sloping concrete floor, reasonable men could infer that that posed a danger. It would seem to me, in that case, the inquiry would clearly, or should clearly, focus on whether or not that theater owner undertook to carry out its duty to reasonably inspect the premises for the safety of the plaintiff. We recognize under present Texas law that they have that duty, and their very actions indicate their knowledge of that duty. But I would also submit to this honorable court that if that case had been tried in Dallas in October of 1981, it very well might be before you today instead of Mr. Corbin's case, because unfortunately the focus is all too often narrowed to the issue of you don't really know how long that substance was on the floor, do you, Mr. Plaintiff?
Counsel, help me with this. I'm hearing your argument. Your distinction between subjective and objective knowledge raises some questions in my mind. I would suppose that the reason historically the rule has been that the plaintiff had to show that the defendant knew or should have known was because in supermarkets most of the things are unpackaged. Would this require impose a duty to package all fruits, vegetables, potatoes, bananas? Would the duty be that broad to require that all objects be packaged? The problem is, you see, the whole public's in there fooling with these things. And if we write a rule which says that if it's on the floor and the defendant's liable, that's really strict liability.
Your Honor, if I may respond.
I wish you would, please.
I am not suggesting that this court in any way change the present premises liability law of Texas. I am only suggesting that in cases involving an injury as a result of stepping on a foreign substance, that perhaps the focus of that law could stand some broadening. Your Honor, I would not suggest that every single piece of produce had to be bagged under my argument. But what I am suggesting is that if other stores, Kroger's, Weingarten's, if they bagged the grapes, and only the grapes, for instance, because, as Mr. Dagley said, they present a particular hazard, and Safeway did not, if we are applying the ordinarily prudent man standard, then the evidence of those, the fact that other stores take precautions against this particular hazard, it would seem would be relevant to the defendant's breach of duty to the plaintiff. And
suppose the proof were that no store bagged grapes, then would that be proof of no negligence?
No, Your Honor, that would not. As you as I believe the law in Texas as the law in Texas clearly stated, the fact that the custom is not to bag grapes is not necessarily conclusive evidence of the defendant's exercise of due care. All I am suggesting is that if the focus is only always on the foreign substance itself, then there are occasions such as the plaintiff's case, such as the case of the young lady in the theater, where the law will fail her when the broad principles of the law as presently adopted by this court should save her. As long as the plaintiff is able, with competent evidence, to demonstrate the necessity of the duty in breach.
Counsel, what do you say to see if I understand what you're saying there. You're saying that because the store knows that grapes customarily fall on the floor and that they can be dangerous, then the duty of this store was to put down the mat. They failed to put down the mat. They breached the duty, therefore your client's entitled to cover.
Your Honor, what I'm saying is that the Safeway personnel, the manager, the district manager of the Safeway stores in Houston, admitted that it was not possible to keep up with the hazard by simply inspecting and keeping the floor swept, because the hazard was created too often. And that the only way, he said, that we know of to protect our customers is to have walk-off mats in place in front of the grape bin. And he said, in fact, if they were not there on the day Mr. Corbin stepped on that grape, then it was a violation of the policy of Safeway stores. Yes, sir, I'm saying that their actual knowledge of this particular hazard in this particular spot created the duty.
In other words, it's your position that they're admitting that falling grapes on the floor created a hazard is the same as saying, I knew that grape was there.
Yes, sir.
And I should have picked it up and did it.
Yes, sir. I'm saying that and the fact that once they recognize that grapes fall on the floor with such rapidity that the inspection is no longer adequate, then why should the inquiry come back to, Mr. Plaintiff, can you prove how long the grape was on the floor?
So under that theory, you would not overrule Coffey. You would just simply supply the element of knowledge by knowledge of a dangerous condition.
Your Honor, I would not in any way suggest overruling Coffey. I think Coffey was clearly indicated that factors, that there could be other factors in consideration when considering the hazard of something that caused a fall in a supermarket. Consequently, Your Honors, I'm asking this court to obviously reverse this case and remand it for trial. And if there are no further questions...
Well, Counsel, let me see if I understand that. Because you're treading awful close to strict liability, as I see it. Are you saying that the failure to put the mats down is negligence, or the failure to put the mats down constitutes a breach of duty that imposes liability without negligence?
Your Honor, I'm saying that Safeway recognized the duty to have the mat. The reason that they recognized that duty is because they recognized the hazard. I would leave it to the jury to answer the additional question if they found no mats were in place on the occasion in question. If that failure to have the mats on that failure to have the mats in place on the occasion in question was negligent. And the evidence of
whether... Well, if they already knew that it was dangerous, and the jury finds that they didn't put the mats down, why aren't they liable?
Judge, that's one of the things that I frankly didn't understand in the one of the reasons why I frankly was astounded at the directed verdict and the unanimous affirmance by the Court of Civil Appeals. It would seem to me that if Safeway says we have such a hazard here that we've got to do something about it, and it was in fact written company policy to do something about it, then that not only establishes in my mind the duty to the plaintiff, but goes further than that in this particular case to be some evidence of the negligence on behalf of Safeway Stores and not having it there. But I'm not suggesting that my discussion here today presupposes strict liability on any premises occupier.
Well, wouldn't the foreseeability of recognizing the dangerous condition differentiate this from a product liability case where foreseeability had no place in it?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And the bottom line of the establishment of a duty, as I understand it, is foreseeability. And when it became obvious, not just should Safeway Stores have known of the danger in front of the Great Bend, but when it became conscious, actual, obvious knowledge, which they admitted repeatedly at the time of the trial of this case, of the danger, then I submit that establishes duty and has nothing, frankly, to do, in my opinion, with strict liability. I'm not suggesting that shifting the focus of premises liability law in this state, according to my argument, would in any way, shape, or form make the occupier of a premises, a grocery store, a theater, an insurer of the plaintiff's safety. The plaintiff would still have to prove, under the appropriate facts of each case, the duty, the breach of duty, and the proximate cause pertaining to that plaintiff's damages.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear their response.
May it please the court, Mr. Art Stone will argue for respondent.
May it please the court. I'm Art Stone and I represent Safeway. For longer than before any of us in the room was born, we have had grapes and soft produce and other produce on display in stores. We've had little round objects like pencils that roll and will slip if you step on them. We've had floors made of linoleum, vinyl, and wood. And the problem of somebody, and we don't know who, dropping objects like this on the floor and people slipping on them, has been around for years, and this isn't something that came up in Houston for the first time when this case happened. It seems to me that because Safeway people, in this case, said, let's really try extra hard to do something about these slip and fall problems. Let's bend an effort to do something the law doesn't require us to do. And you can imagine, especially with chains of stores, that what this court says is observed and heeded. And even though the law has not required us to have these walk-off mats in front of the Great Bend, we don't want people falling in the stores. Let's put walk-off mats in front of the Great Bend. And if this case is remanded, the court is going to punish Safeway for trying extra hard. I think the analogy and the validity of the analogy we're going to look at right now is inescapably valid. If you undertake a task that the law does not require you to undertake, then, even though you didn't have to undertake it, you have to exercise ordinary care in its execution. If we had put a mat down on that floor and the corner was curled up.
Counsel, didn't the court hold that about 6 weeks ago in Osona versus Railroad, OSUNA?
Justice Barrow, I'm sorry, I have not seen that case. I've been in trial a couple of weeks.
Regarding erection of crossbars at a crossing that was not extra hazardous. But once they erected them, well, they had to maintain them in a non-negligent fashion.
Surely. I think so. I think that's very analogous to the case I didn't think of mentioning in my argument until about half an hour ago, and so I don't have the style, but it's very familiar. There was a situation out at an oil rig, and some kind of valve needed attention, a problem developed. Now, there was an employee of a company other than a company who had a duty to maintain this valve. And this man saw a problem, and he undertook to adjust or fix this problem. The law didn't make him do it. But the court said, once he undertook it, he had to exercise ordinary care, and because of his failure to exercise ordinary care in his attempt, people were injured, and you have liability there. And so I think if we had a case here where the corner were turned up, or maybe you had a mat that had some kind of non-skid material on the bottom, and you used the mat over and over and over and over again, and maybe like a throw rug, it's even worse than having no rug, and someone falls on it, you would have liability. But here, the plaintiff is trying to get to the jury on the basis of our alleged failure to do something that we didn't have a duty to do. Now, we talk about this recognized hazard. Reading the cases over the years, it is obvious that another hazard that is analogous and present everywhere in stores is the presence of vertical objects. Maybe like this, particularly in stores, these posts, like at the checkout stand and at meat counters and so forth. If one thinks about it a moment, vertical objects are everywhere in our daily lives, chairs, tables, and so forth. People trip on those, and that's a problem. Well, what if Safeway said, let's try extra hard to eliminate that hazard. Let's see how many vertical objects we can eliminate in our stores. And so we started designing and constructing these stores with fewer vertical objects. I think it's obvious that you're going to be real hard-pressed to eliminate all vertical objects unless you hang everything from the ceiling. If this case is remanding, we're going to be back here over and over, and the courts are going to have a bunch of cases in which you forgot one. You didn't eliminate every vertical object. What if, what about curbs out on the sidewalk of the stores? The cases are replete with people turning their heels or tripping over a curb. What if Safeway said, let's see what we can do to make safer curbs? And if this case is remanded, that means if they don't do a perfect job of removing all curb objects, maybe we'd have to remove all curbs, we're going to say, even though you wouldn't be liable for a case 5 years ago for someone just falling over a curb that's just standing there right in front of your face, and if you didn't have the curb, cars would be running into the store, we're going to nail you this time because you undertook to eliminate some curbs and you didn't get them all. So occupiers of premises, it seems to me if this case is remanded, are going to say, look at the trouble Safeway got itself into by trying hard. Let's not put out any safety bulletins, fellows. Let's not try hard because that gets you in trouble. So let's just rest with our 1910 vintage premises, and instead of trying to make safe, if we put anything in a bulletin like, gee, looking back over the last 10 years, we've had a number of people get hurt in this situation, let's see if we can eliminate them. Now, we might have a different situation if we had this, which is not in the record in this case. If Mr. Corbin had placed in the record in this case, I have become so familiar with seeing walk-off mats in front of great bins that I no longer, because I rely on the presence of these walk-off mats, I no longer have to keep a proper lookout. I no longer have to play heads up ball. I can just walk along with gay abandon, knowing that I can step on all the grapes that I might be presented with. I won't fall. Well, I don't know what we would have there. Surely he'd have a better shot, but that's not in this record. I think that would be the closest I can imagine to turning this case by changing the facts into one that should get to the jury.
Don't help me with a try to understand your argument here. Let's change the facts a little and say you just got a hole in the floor in front of the great bend.
Yes, sir.
And it's dangerous if someone steps in it. They might get hurt and so they might turn their knee and tear up a couple of legs.
Right.
And so in order to keep people from stepping on that end of that hole before you get fixed, you put a barricade around it.
Yes, sir.
And that's the store policy. We're going to barricade that hole to keep people out of it until we get fixed. And you just don't put the barricade up that morning. After the clean people come in, they leave the barricade out, and someone walks through, steps in the hole and hurts themselves. I'm having trouble distinguishing between the duty owed the store in that case and the duty where the store says, we know there's going to be grapes on that floor, and so instead of putting up a barricade around the grapes, we're going to put mats so it won't be slick, and people step on the grapes, they won't slip and fall.
I see.
Explain to me the difference between the duty owed by Safeway in those two situations.
All right. Thank you, Justice Wallace. I think the case you have outlined is similar to one that comes up in the briefs about water coming out of a case. In the situation where you have a hole in the floor, you've got a dangerous condition in this floor right now. There is a hazard that will make somebody fall, and I look at it and it's right there. If I turn my back on it, the next person who walks down the aisle is going to fall on it. The same is true with water coming out of a refrigeration case or what have you. Here, we look down the floor and there aren't any grapes on the floor. And the customers, and this is in the record, I mean the employees in the record, are trying to be ever vigilant for, as would be obvious if you were in that line of work, objects on the floor. And as is in the record, the more likely cause of some grape or some other object being on the floor is a customer dropping it. But we don't have a hazardous condition on that floor if a customer or someone else, doesn't drop a grape. And if they just will not drop things on the floor, we have a safe floor. And so throughout the years, vinyl, linoleum, wooden floors have been considered to be reasonably safe floors. And the real problem, remanding this case, I think the biggest problem you're going to have is, or people are going to have is, the logical next step is, as far-fetched as it sounds, but I really can't escape it, or we're going to have to wall-to-wall carpet the stores. Because we've all seen, you get these grapes, and what if you don't drop them in front of the grape bin? Well, you put them in your cart, supposedly in a bag, and you go all over the store, and what's to keep the grapes from falling in front of the socks or anywhere else in the store? Flowers are displayed in the front of the store. Well, what's to keep a petal or a leaf from falling on the floor and somebody slipping on it? What about the peanuts, the pecans, and so forth? Wrappers.
Well, isn't the big difference there the fact that Safeway employee says we know that particular dangerous condition exists for the grape bin? And does that set it apart from those other instances?
Well, if this case is remanded, it's certainly going to set it apart. If the case is remanded, I don't see any difference between recognizing, just as has been the case over the years, that produce sometimes gets dropped on the floor. Pencils get dropped on the floor. In drugstores or everywhere else, they're sold or used by employees or customers. Again, vertical objects. And there are a lot of vertical object cases. And I think that's very significant. You just, right here, you just can't eliminate all vertical objects. Automatic doors closing because of a malfunction of the door closing mechanism. There are a bunch of them in the cases. Now, what's an occupier to do there? If you think about that, let's say people at the Safeway store put out a bulletin and they say, store managers, we've had some cases of people getting hit by automatic doors. So, like in this case, we recognize the so-called hazard, recognize the danger. Now, what are we going to do about it? Think about it a minute. What is a store manager going to do? Learn from the door company the technical way to inspect the door system and do it every hour, every 30 minutes, twice a day? I don't know.
Counsel, I've often wondered, you go swimming and you see signs say, swim at your own risk. I just wonder what a sign, shop at your own risk. I've never seen one.
Right. Well, of course, I don't think those signs mean much myself. I don't imagine.
Anyway. But it's a warning to the person who uses it that there's danger there.
Yes. Of course, I can't imagine a warning that would do much good unless you were more specific. Of course, in the case of swimming, it's pretty obvious. But produce in the floor is by far not the only danger there is to walking in a retail store where products are displayed. Not only slipping, but also tripping. And it's not just produce. All kinds of things can be dropped in the floor, and all the cases that have been cited in the briefs and in the cases cited in the briefs have almost every kind of object imaginable that have been fallen, that have dropped on there. And you put a store manager on the stand and start cross-examining him thoroughly, and you can certainly have him admit, well, sure, grapes aren't the only problem. There are plums, there are lettuce, and you go up and down just about any aisle, and I don't see any escape to the conclusion that we're getting out of the realm of ordinary care. If we say, not only if you put a carpet down, you better make sure it doesn't have a corner turned up, but if you have some safety person in your organization, instead of just everybody run along merchandising, you have someone whose job it is to try to be real safe, safer than we were last year, and let's always try to do better. And he says, here's an area I think we can do better on. You're going to penalize them for doing that work, and you're going to penalize the company that encourages that kind of safety effort. And, well, penalizing people trains them. And I think the result is going to be very undesirable. I think you're going to have people shrug their shoulders and say, what am I to do? When I try extra hard, I get nailed extra hard. I think I'm being told that I better mind my business and go back to merchandising. And I think, frankly, that the store people should be commended for their effort. And I really think the analogy is not that bad. If we walk out of here on our way to lunch, and we see a blind person trying to cross the street, we have no duty to go over there and help that blind person. But if we undertake to help them, and we waltz them right in front of a car, then we incur liability. If a blind person comes in the store, there's no law I've ever heard of that says, wait a minute, you've got to send an usher over to take the person by the arm and take them through. One readily accepts liability for if you do that, and the person ushering the blind person along leads them right in front of a banana peel, and they're hurt, no problem.
The moral of that story is don't take them by the grape then.
Perhaps.
What duties do you feel that you have to invitees?
Well, I've always felt it was clear until writ was granted in this case, and that is to exercise ordinary care to the invitees, not put any hazards there, not ignore them if I know about them, and to inspect frequently enough so that I would discover a hazard if it presented itself in my ignorance.
If you have knowledge of the existence of a hazard, you're under no obligation to do anything about it.
Well, in this case, Justice Kilgarland, I think the hazard is the grape. And,
right. And you have knowledge that grapes are continually falling from the bend of the floor, don't you?
Well, continually falling. Certainly grapes and other products in the produce department present a greater slip and fall hazard than others. And I keep going back because one sees it so often. The same is true with the vertical hazard. I think we would all be surprised if a plaintiff got to the jury because just a plain vanilla vertical object someone who just standing right in front of him tripped on it, a store were held liable because he didn't eliminate all vertical objects.
What duty do you have to clean up that known hazard on the floor or protect against that known hazard on the floor by placing mats?
Well, at least heretofore, I think surely we've had the duty to exercise ordinary care to look for objects, grapes and other objects that fall on the floor. We'll be, of course, writing new law if we remand this case, and next time it'll be because the mat wasn't somewhere else, and somewhere else, and somewhere else. And from mats, I don't know where. But it's not just luck, I think, that slip and fall cases are tough for the plaintiff. It's tough if you're going to use as the basis for liability ordinary care, which that's what we have so far.
Counsel, as I see it, the law has been that the burden is on the plaintiff on these objects on the floor to prove that the defendant knew or should have known of the object on the floor.
Right.
Now, as I hear what is now being argued, the burden should be on the plaintiff only to prove that the defendant knew or should have known that there is an ongoing danger.
Yes, sir. I think that's precisely the question before the court.
But where it's recognized, as your store obviously recognized, and then doesn't do anything about it, why aren't you liable?
Well, a bigger problem than grapes is lovely elderly ladies who have some brush against something in the store that would not cause one of us to fall down. And it causes the ladies to fall down. And they tend to be 82 or older. And if you do fall down, one of us would probably be embarrassed, look around to see who saw us, brush her clothes off, and walk on. An 82-year-old lady tends to break her hip, tends to incur $10,000 in medical expenses, and so on. We know that's a hazard. Everybody does. Would you next have us meet, first of all, be on guard for elderly ladies who come into the store and meet them and usher them? I don't know.
I'd say that if you had 100 ladies that fall in your store every year, then you need to meet that burden. And obviously, you've had a lot of folks slip on grapes. And you recognize that you owe them a duty to keep them from slipping on grapes.
Well, of course, I really believe that that the plaintiff is attempting to treat, and if this case is remanding, the court will be treating, a store like Safeway, who in this case has said we have had great slip and fall cases. Let's do something the law doesn't say we have to do and put mats there. If you're treating them differently and you're treating them worse than a store around the corner who just doesn't do anything about it. Because if Mr. Corbin had slipped and fallen on a grape in any store, whether Safeway or other, and someone in a safety department or somewhere hadn't been trying to go the extra mile and sending out a bulletin and the store manager's trying to get on top of something, think ahead instead of react. If he had fallen in a store like that, this writ wouldn't have been granted. And I think on full review, that is a point that is well worth consideration. Now, and what we're doing is we're going by subjective standard. And a lot of these stores, if we had been in the same shoes and there weren't any bulletin and the plaintiff's lawyer says, did you know about these grapes? Well, grapes fall on the floor. But without the store district manager, as he did in this case, saying, yes, sir, we recognize that's a problem and we're trying to deal with it, and we have made the policy of putting out these mats. instead of stonewalling them and saying, hey, I'm a grocer. If you'd had that, we wouldn't have gotten this far.
Councilman, let me maybe ask you another question. What is your comment about the applicability of Section 343 of the restatement?
Well,
what's your position about that?
Justice Spears, I think the applicability of it is fine. I think whether it applies to the case or any other case or not simply hinges on the definition of dangerous condition. And I go back to what the laws of the state and the premises that occupiers have been relying on have been saying is the grape is the dangerous condition. And we don't have any more grapes now, at least there's no evidence in this record, than there have been 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago.
Didn't your store manager say something about a recognition of the condition was caused by a grape fall on the floor? They knew about it. That's the reason they put these mats down?
Yes, sir.
Does that make some of this restatement section applicable?
I don't think it makes it any more applicable than it was 60 years ago when we had wooden and linoleum floors and grapes and so forth.
I'm not sure I understand your point there.
Well, I'm saying if you just read the cases on premises liability law, it's obvious that this kind of case, that is slip and fall on produce, especially grapes, that's been around us for 10, 15, all this time. And the only reason we are, or some of us are contemplating fixing liability in absence of constructive knowledge of the presence of the grape. The only reason is that in recent years, this defendant said, let's try harder. I think that's the difference. This isn't a new hazard. And I think you can, sure, I can see how you can, I can see how it's easy to edge towards strict liability and the defendant being insurer. But that is not the law that premises occupiers have been relying on over the years.
Let me ask you one other question. This accident happened in Houston, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
What was the advantage of filing a plea of privilege to move it to Dallas, which was done?
Well,
and I don't ask the question in all innocence. I want to know why you did it.
Well, that was done before I got the case, too. But I know, I think everybody knows why you do it. There is, to my knowledge, no county in the United States that votes more consistently Republican than Dallas County, and that's Orange County, California.
You wanted that jury up there.
Certainly.
Okay.
If you were defending the case, you'd want it out of Brazoria, out of Marshall, Texas, out of Dangerfield.
I admire your honesty.
Well, sure.
This doesn't seem very logical to me that if something happens in Harris County that we're going to move the trial up to Dallas County.
Of course, we need to talk to the legislature about the venue statute and exceptions. And certainly, Texas isn't as big as it was back when those laws were passed. But
Counsel, let me ask you another question. The Court of Civil Appeals opinion in this case states, in the past, the way the existence of the danger has come under the should have known, been proof that the apple or banana or grape was old and they picked it up and it looked like it had been there a long time. Now, there was some evidence in this case, was there not, that the grape looked old?
Yes, sir. The plaintiff said.
And the Court of Civil Appeals says that's not enough to get the thing to a jury.
Certainly.
If it had been a banana. In the J.C. Penney case, it was an old banana. That was enough to get it to the jury. Why isn't an old grape enough factually to get it to the jury?
Well, I think it's common knowledge that you pick up a particular, just this big, cluster of grapes, and on that same little vine in the same cluster, you'll see varying degrees of ripeness. You'll see old, grungy grapes that you throw away, and you'll see nice ones that you eat. And it is just as likely as not that the grape got old-looking sitting on the shelf and back in the store and in the truck that it did on the floor.
Wouldn't it be more likely that Safeway was selling fresh grapes instead of old grapes?
I'm sorry, Chief Justice Pope, I didn't follow that.
In other words, the probabilities are that when they pick up a cluster of grapes, they're going to be fresh grapes.
All right.
And the probabilities, I would think, would be that if they find an old grape around, that maybe it was down there on the floor. This is where they found this grape. It was down on the floor and it was old.
Right. But it's
and
still...
And why isn't that some evidence or probable on probability?
That it's been on the floor a long time?
Right.
I just don't... See, back to the liquid foreign substance cases, if you have a liquid that is dried around the edges, that drying around the edges doesn't occur until the liquid gets on the floor. But a grape can get old anywhere, and there's no reason to conclude that it got old sitting on the floor. There's nothing about the environment that makes it get old on the floor as opposed to up on the grape bin, like there is in liquid foreign substance. Is that? And of course, that's the logic the cases over the years have followed.
Well, of course, the Court of Appeal cites a no writ case for that holding.
There are a bunch of them, of course. And there are a bunch cited in the, I believe it's Green against Triplett, or maybe that's the one they cite. But there are an awful lot of them. And I still think the bottom line on this is, more likely than not, from the record, why the grape was there for Mr. Corbin to slip on was the fortuitous and instantaneous act of a customer. And from the record, it looks more likely than not that that's the case. And we'll be making very, very different law if we send the plaintiff to the jury on this case. And boy, the premises liability law is just going to be extremely different. May we have leave to file a post-submission brief?
How much time do you want? Are we be granted?
Thank you.
Counsel will be given an opportunity to reply within a week.
Thank you.
We'll hear the reply from the petitioner.
Your Honor, the suggestion at the initial part of the respondent's argument here was that the reason we're here today is because Safeway Stores, in Mr. Corbin's case, undertook to voluntarily do the right thing, and that that consequently turns out to be the evidence that I'm claiming should allow me to take this case to the jury. What I am claiming is that once Safeway Stores, Inc. recognized a particular hazard in a particular part of the store, in front of the grape bin, not in front of the lettuce, not in front of the carrots, and not in front of the rutabagas, that they ought to have done something. Restatement 343, Section B, or Comment B. Distinction between duties to licensees and invitee. Speaking to what an invitee is entitled to. He is entitled to expect such care not only in the original construction of the premises and any activities of the possessor or his employees which may affect their condition, but also in inspection to discover their actual condition and any latent defects, followed by such repair safeguards or warning as may be reasonably necessary for his protection under the circumstances. I would submit that in this case, Safeway Stores, Inc. was not just playing the role of a nice guy, but was attempting to carry out the obligation imposed upon it by law to do something about this area in front of the grape bin. Now, they may have bagged the grapes in cellophane bags, or they may have had a store clerk hand the grapes to the customer instead of having customers litter them all over the floor, or as they chose to do, they may have put walk-off mats in front of the grape bin, but they had to do something under the law to protect their invitees. I would submit that's the reason we're here, not because Safeway Store voluntarily decided that they would go the extra mile and put walk-off mats in front of some grape bins.
Counsel, did you attempt to find out how many slip and fall cases on grapes that Safeway Stores have had over the last 10 years?
No, Your Honor, I have not. I did not because of the admissions by the store personnel and the district manager as to their knowledge of what they thought the hazard was.
Is there any testimony in this record about daily and during the day periodic inspections, whether they had somebody that whose job was to go around the store and sweep things up regularly? Is there any testimony like that?
Yes, Your Honor, there is.
What does it show?
What that testimony at trial showed was that Safeway Store had a store policy that the floors would be swept a minimum of 8 times every 24-hour period. The sweep logs that were introduced into evidence of this case showed that they were only swept once before the plaintiff fell, and then, of course, immediately afterwards.
What time of the day was this?
About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Your Honor.
Wasn't there also some evidence that it was just a big mess around the grape bin, and that right after this plaintiff failed, that the manager ordered somebody to clean up the mess, I believe is the testimony?
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly right. Furthermore, there was testimony from Mrs. Helfner that the floor was always filthy.
With that kind of testimony, why do you need to change the rule? In other words, I would think that your argument would be that you had evidence which justified your getting to the jury on the basis of what you had just told me.
Well, Your Honor, unfortunately, there is that. My response to that is simply this. We proved these people did not inspect nor sweep the floors in that store. Or at least I think we raised the fact.
And that's one of their duties.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we proved that the store was filthy. In fact, Mr. Dagley admitted, an admission by a party opponent to Ms. Helfner was introduced at trial, that yes, we know we have a problem in this store. The reason that I did not pursue the case on that basis is because, quite frankly, I did not think that I could prove cause in fact, the cause in fact element of proximate cause in this case. And by that I mean that while I could prove the store was had a filthy produce floor, the defendant could come into a courtroom and say, even though the store was littered with grapes, the plaintiff has not proven that the grape that he stepped on and that the grape that caused his fall didn't hit the floor 5 seconds before he stepped on it.
No, but it's enough to show to the fact finder that the condition of the floor should have been known to be dirty.
Your Honor,
and that's all you need.
Your Honor, I think that that evidence unquestionably established a breach of the Safeway's duty to the plaintiff.
What I'm saying is I don't know why you need to change the rule. In other words, you would ask us to make an objective standard instead of the present rule, which is that you have to come in and show that the defendant knew or should have known. And it would seem to me that you would be arguing that on the basis of the dirty floor, not swept but once, presence of the grapes, that they shouldn't have known. And factually, it should have known for the jury.
Your Honor, I would agree with you. I was afraid in this case, on the basis of the circumstances of where I was, that I didn't think that presenting that evidence without being able to prove that grape had been on the floor for a sufficient length of time for the, that particular grate, for a sufficient length of time for the store to have discovered it and swept it up, would support a finding of proximate cause. The cause, in fact, portion of proximate cause. Obviously, it was foreseeable. And obviously, it was a breach of duty.
Well, you don't have to prove that you fell on grape A. You just fell in a dirty area.
What issues were you going to submit? Didn't this instructed verdict come at the end of the evidence?
Yes, Your Honor, it did.
Okay, what issues were you going to submit? Different issues on a different theory of recovery, or were you going to use the usual slip and fall issues?
Your Honor, my plan was to submit issues that, since there was a dispute as to whether or not the floor mats were in place on the day in question, I was going to submit an issue, do you find for preponderance of the evidence that floor mats were in place in front of the grape bin on the occasion in question? If they answered, we do not, then I would ask an issue, do you find that such failure was negligence? And then the third issue would be the proximate cause issue and, of course, damages.
Well, would you submit on the other issue, too?
Sir?
Would you submit on the slip and fall issues
in
addition to that?
On the failure to properly inspect?
And not properly sweep it, for example.
Judge, I would have been, if I'd gone to the jury, I'm sure I would have submitted all those issues.
Well, that's what we're asking.
But I am not asking this court to change the law. I firmly in my heart believe that. I'm asking the court to state unequivocally that the broad protection of the present premises liability principles apply in a case like this.
Well, it'll be all right for you. We just said that you don't have to prove that this particular grate was known to be on the floor or had to be known to be on the floor.
Judge, I would like to see I would like to see the case reversed and remanded based on my argument, but obviously my duties of my client, I would love to retry this case, whatever the court's decision is, the rationale.
You want to retry this case and be able to submit an issue as to whether or not Safeway was negligent for failing to have those mats on the floor?
Yes, Your Honor, I do. If I may continue to respond to Mr. Stone's response, he suggests that your reversal and remand of this case would require wall-to-wall carpet. I don't believe that's the situation at all. I asked the store people in my questions on the witness stand, the reason the mats had to go right here is because of specific knowledge of a specific hazard. That would not, in my opinion, require Safeway to put walk-off mats all the way up and down the aisle because there is no particular knowledge of any other hazard other than except in front of the grape bin. There is a case that Mr. Stone mentioned about the refrigerator or icebox that leaks, which I think adequately or amply illustrates the point I was trying to make about the fact that the focus of the particular foreign substance isn't ordinary, should not always be required. And that was the case where water was constantly seeping out of the refrigerator, constantly seeping onto the floor, causing a continuing hazard. Now, should the issue in that case be whether or not the plaintiff can prove that on the occasion in question, the water was on the floor for a sufficient length of time that a store clerk should have swept it up? Or should the issue be the fact that that particular store allowed this icebox or refrigerator to continue to leak and to continue to leak and to continue to leak? It would seem to me that Section 343 of the restatement requires them to inspect for that kind of hazard just like a foreign substance on the floor and to do something about it.
We can't have a jury finding that the area in front of the grape bin was an ultra-hazardous area before you get down to whether they ought to put the floor mats down.
Your Honor, I think that was the case before Roses versus Buddy's Food Store. And as I said in the earlier part of my argument,
your people admitted it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. But as I said in the earlier part of my argument, I think that Rosas basically eliminated the need ordinarily to submit a separate issue as to whether or not the situation was hazardous before the plaintiff could go on. Because as the court said, whether a condition constitutes a danger is a function of reasonableness. That is, if an ordinarily prudent man could perceive that harm is a likely result of a condition, then it is a danger. And in that sense, I think that falls squarely within the issue on that case. Your Honor, I would ask this honorable court to reverse and remand this case for trial. And I would ask you to do so in such a clear and unequivocal fashion as to demonstrate that the present law of premises liability and the principles contained therein, Restatement 343 of torts, should be applied to protect the citizens of Texas. And if not protect them, then at least allow them the remedy to have their cases heard by a court and a jury of their peers. Thank you for the honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be submitted on briefs and oral argument.